This is the day which the Lord has made.
Listen to Chapel Services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Better is one day in your courts.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Bless and preserve us.
I would say that as an ardent practicing Catholic, this is an issue that I have studied for a long time. And what I know is over the centuries, the doctors of the church have not been able to make that definition. Saint Augustine said at 3 months. You don't know. And so I don't think anybody can tell you when life begins, human life begins. As I say, Catholic Church for centuries has been discussing this. And there are those who've decided...
The Catholic Church at the moment feels very strongly that it begins at the point of conception.
And this is like maybe 50 years or something like that. So again, over the history of the church, this is an issue of controversy.
That's Representative Nancy Pelosi speaking back in 2008 with Tom Brokaw, trying to answer, but not really answering the question, when does life begin, asserting that her own church, the Catholic Church, has never really made up its mind, and only certain Catholics in the last 50 years have come up with this idea that life begins at conception. Her history is rather shaky there, but lately she's been asked questions with the advent of the Planned Parenthood videos. Lots of questions about abortion. She didn't seem to be answering very many of them. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, senior editor of The Federalist, will be joining us here to talk about Nancy Pelosi and abortion. Also, were undercover Planned Parent videos, were they deceptively edited? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest after that. We'll do Christ in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2. Pastor Chris Roseborough will lead us through This Week in Pop American Christianity, Seven Mountains Mandate, bringing forth the kingdom of God on earth, and then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She joins us to talk about Nancy Pelosi, abortion, and Planned Parenthood. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
Before we talk about the media and Nancy Pelosi, what were your thoughts on Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards' congressional testimony earlier this week?
Well, it was very long. It was 5 hours of testimony for the hearing that was on the Hill, and I was not tremendously impressed with how the Republicans handled that. They could have used their time to really dig down and find and help us learn more about this organization that receives more than $500 million in taxpayer funding each year. But having said that, there were some pretty interesting admissions that Richards had to admit to since she was under oath. You might have heard the statistic that Planned Parenthood says that abortions are only 3% of the services they offer. They keep saying that, and that keeps on getting debunked by various people who look into it. But she had to concede that that depending on how you look at it, you could even consider it 86% of their services in terms of revenue that comes in when federal funds are exempted. She had to admit, finally, that Planned Parenthood performs not a single mammogram. And this is a claim that has been made by Cecile Richards herself on television. But under oath, she had to admit that they don't do mammograms. They don't have mammogram machines and the like. And she had to also answer some questions about community health centers and how they differ from Planned Parenthood. And when asked to explain, to defend the organization against the fact that there are all these community health centers that could serve women, that there are 10 times as many as there are Planned Parenthood facilities, and that they offer services such as mammograms that Planned Parenthood doesn't offer, and asked to explain why she's defends her group is such a helpful place for women, she didn't really have an answer. And she also revealed the fungibility issue, which is that officially no funds are supposed to go to abortion, none of the taxpayer funds are supposed to go to abortion, and yet she was saying that if she were to lose federal funding, it would hurt abortion. And in order to explain herself, she revealed that the fact that taxpayer funds don't officially go to abortion doesn't mean that they don't fund literally everything else that enables that abortion operation to be so profitable for the for the clinics. So, it was still revealing, even if I wish that the Republicans had done a better job or been working together a little bit better.
Now, regardless of how she's done, how she did there and all those revelations, you have to search long and hard to find a lot of those in the media. You also have to search long and hard to find a cogent, coherent answer from Nancy Pelosi on the issue of abortion. What's going on here?
Oh, well, you know, there's this thing that the media does where if you are a pro-life politician, they can imagine about 100 questions they'd like to ask you about it, usually about, you know, well, what do you think about rape and incest? They take these very far extreme questions. The moment any reporter asks even a slightly difficult question of a pro-choice politician, they all sort of rush to aid her. And this happens a lot with Nancy Pelosi, who's one of the most prominent defenders of even abortion, you know, as you're exiting the birth canal. She is very radical on this and very far outside the mainstream of public opinion on late-term abortion. And a journalist asked her yesterday sort of what constitutes a baby being alive. Like if you have a human liver and if you have a human heart, does that mean you're alive, you're a human baby or something? And she responded by saying that she had had 5 children and she knew more than he did. And all these reporters just thought that was awesome. And so they all started tweeting out and writing stories about how she shut that reporter down. And a lot of people pointed out that she didn't answer the question. And in fact, she uses this I'm a mother of 5 thing over and over and over again, and it doesn't answer the question, I mean, at all. I'm a mother, and I can assure you, you don't need to be a mother to answer the question of what makes a human. And you know, it's a complete deflection of the question, but all these reporters thought it was just awesome. Washington Post put out a piece called Nancy Pelosi Shut Down an Abortion Protester's Question in a Press Conference. Wasn't an abortion protester. He was a credentialed member of the media. And the way the Post wrote it up was that he was shouting his question. No, he was in the front row and he was merely insistent that the question get answered. And all these other reporters just, you know, defend Pelosi. And it's frustrating because the purpose of journalism should not be to advance, you know, a pro-abortion narrative or a pro-life narrative, but to actually interrogate and find out the ways people think and how it affects public policy.
If a pro-lifer was asked a similar question on the other side and said, well, I'm a mother of 5, I think I know more about it than any of you, what would the reaction of the room be there?
I think you know, it's ridiculous. Nobody would take that as a legitimate response to a tough question on abortion, so long as they were pro-life. And neither should we accept it as a even remotely legitimate answer if you're pro-choice. And, you know, it's part of a pattern. It was a couple years ago when the Kermit Gosnell story was going on. One reporter asked Nancy Pelosi, who had defended fighting a late-term abortion ban. He said, so what's the moral distinction between what Kermit Gosnell did, which is delivering these babies and then snipping their spinal cords, and permitting late-term abortion where that same thing would just happen in utero? And she responded something like, so she said her thing about being a mom and whatnot, and she said that she could tell he was enjoying the question or something, which was rude and dismissive. And the reporter for the New York Times and the reporter for NBC News just guffawed with laughter, totally supporting Pelosi in her attempt to dodge what was a very good and important and timely and newsy question. And so, again, it's the fact that this is part of a pattern where if you're pro-choice and political, you get nothing but support from the media. And if you're pro-life and political, you just get interrogated and you get tough questions and you get constant, explorations of your philosophy in the hard scenarios and whatnot. It's unacceptable from a journalistic standpoint.
But I think what we're seeing here is that there are certainly a fair share of pro-life politicians who are completely inarticulate. They're pro-life, God love them, but they can't make the case to save their lives. We've seen those people, and they have their own gaffes. But perhaps what we're seeing here is such a long cone of protection and insulation that the media has given to pro-choice candidates that they haven't thought them through. They can't answer the questions. They're not going to answer these questions. What do you think, Molly?
Oh, I mean, you could imagine if you actually had people asking questions of these sort of more strident pro-choice people like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, people who are really hardcore in their advocacy but never get asked any tough questions. You can imagine how it might be difficult to answer a question about, you know, what the moral difference is between the late-term abortions you so vehemently fight for and what Kermit Gosnell did, or whether it should be okay to kill a baby on her way out of the birth canal just because she's a female. Whether it should be okay to kill a baby because he has a cleft palate. I would like to know these answers, the answers to their questions. I would like to hear them defend this as a practice, but we just don't even ask them the questions, and therefore we don't actually you know, have a healthy conversation about it. And there's another thing, too, which is that Pelosi keeps on referring to her Roman Catholic faith, and the media just act like that's a trump card that she can play, that you just have to back off. Well, in fact, the Roman Catholic Church says not only is life sacred from the moment of conception, but that it is wrong to be a politician and not fight in defense of the right to life that those unborn children have. And there are all sorts of things that the Catholic Church has said about it, but the idea that she gets to say she's Catholic and therefore it's this trump card, if you can't think of a number of follow-up questions about what the Roman Catholic Church says in terms of how its own members who are elected officials must handle this, then you're just being a bad reporter.
With about a minute here, Molly, what did we discover about those Planned Parenthood videos this last week about the charges of deceptive editing?
Yeah, this is another interesting thing. Planned Parenthood has had this talking point for quite some time that these videos were deceptively edited. And even a few weeks ago, they paid a Democratic opposition research firm, and really not just a Democratic opposition research firm, but one of the shadiest Democratic opposition research firms, to do what they call the forensic analysis. And even though they didn't find anything, the report said that there had been some edits that were deceptive somehow. They didn't quite explain why. Well, this story ran in the New York Times. It ran at the top of the hour on every NPR station in the country. It ran in Politico. It was everywhere. Well, this week, out comes an independent analysis that shows, in fact, the Planned Parenthood videos were in no way deceptively edited. There are about five things that are left out of the footage. Those include going to the bathroom, eating, waiting, commuting. I mean, they had access to all the footage. They showed what was missing, and it was like literally commuting and going to the bathroom. And did that appear in a single mainstream media outlet? Not a single one. And this, even though the people who commissioned the report sent it to every reporter at the New York, all the reporters who cover this, the New York Times, Politico, Washington Post, et cetera, they sent it to them, and they still didn't cover it. That is not good journalism, particularly since they so credulously covered the other one.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a senior editor for The Federalist. You can read her columns at our website, issuezetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. A regular series with him is Christ in the Old Testament. Today, Genesis chapter 2, the creation of man and woman. That's coming up next on Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, October the 2nd. Then, Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us to talk about This Week in Pop American Christianity. And in the last half hour of the program, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Solid. Serious. substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A daily dose of Luther is good for the soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.